Praise the Lord. Let's give our God a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 11. Amen. We're going to read this little portion of scripture, and we'll ask Brother Josue to come and open the service with a word of prayer. Amen. The Psalms reads, can you turn me down a little bit, brother? Just a little bit. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempests. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright.
Together, Father, in your precious name, we love you, Jesus. Father, we believe that the scripture says that where two or three gather, Father, in your midst, in the midst you will be, Father. So you promised that you will be here, Father. Grant that to us this morning. Father, we believe that we're not here by any accident, because the Bible tells us that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, Father. So we believe that you made a way for us to be here, and there's a reason for that, Father. Father, we thank you because you have protected us through the week. We thank you, Father, because you have provided for us, Father. And we want to ask you this morning, Father, for your grace and your mercy upon us, Father. Father, forgive us for our sins, Father, our trespasses, Father. This morning we want to make sure that we're clear in front of you, Father, so that you can freely, Father, move up in our midst, Father, and that, Father, you could do your will could be done this morning, Father. Father, we ask you, your presence to fall upon the minister this morning, Father. May he could just get out of the way, Father, and bring the word plain and clear like you want us to hear, Father. Father, let our hearts be in a place that we can receive what you want to bring to us this morning. Father, speak to us in a way that we haven't heard you ever before, Father. And just, Father, let your spirit freely flow in this place, Father. Father, allow us to be gentle to one another, Father, loving one another, Father. If there's anything that's making us feel a certain way about somebody, Father, allow that to lift up, Father, of our feelings, Father, that way we can actually receive your word, Father, because we need brotherly kindness, Father. Father, we love you. We appreciate that you have made a way for us this morning, and we just want to give it all to you, Father, and let you take control of this service, Father, because we love you, Father. We want to ask you these things, trusting that you're hearing our prayers, Father. And we thank you this morning, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Our God is good. At his feet I bow, humbly at his feet I am. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, worldly pleasure all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Come on, take me now. Take me. Oh, I surrender all to you, Jesus. I surrender all. Oh, all to thee, my blessed Savior. Surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Me Savior, holy. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. Truly know that thou art mine. Oh, I surrender all to you, Jesus. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all to you, Jesus. I surrender. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, come on, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, say withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Come on. Lord, I surrender all to you. Everything I give, everything I give to you. One more time. I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. The great unknown, my feet may fail. Soul will rest in your embrace. sovereign hand will be my guide. Where fear may fail and fear surrounds me, you'll never fail and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name. Yes, I will, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of. Say, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you, oh, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Say Spirit.
God has been leading us into higher heights and deeper depths. He want to take us on. He want to take us to the place that he ordained us to be.
Amen. So we are a church that needs to get right. Let's sing that little song. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Come on, let's sing it again. Well, get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, get right, church, we're going home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Well, I'm going home on the morning train. Train. Oh, I'm going home on the morning train. Evening train might be too late. I'm going home. Oh, come on, put your hand up. Time, we're going home. Amen. Like Brother Troy said, we got a journey that we're looking forward to. Amen. We're going home. Amen. You may have your seats. We're going to jump right into the specials. Brother Jeffrey, since you're on your feet, come on, my brother. God bless you.
Pray for me. Or just sing along with me. Amen.
Everybody needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of a nation. So take me as you find me, and all my fears are failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow, and everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Jesus, mighty to save. Let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in. Let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, Savior, He can move the mountains. Mighty to save, Jesus, mighty to save, forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Oh, Jesus, conquered the grave. Shine your light in, let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's who we should be singing to. It's for the glory of the Lord.
Amen. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
God bless you, Brother Jerry.
Jeffrey.
My man, Brother Jerry.
I'm calling that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Burris, will you come this morning? God bless you, sister.
God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord. You know, it's such a blessing to be walking in this light that we're in. This song that I'm going to sing this morning, it's the inspiration came for it way back in 1994. And I see I didn't really complete the song until 2000. I haven't sung it very often, but it's a song I used to sing with Sister Gina out in Okeechobee. It's a blessing to walk this narrow way. In time, things have changed a bit, but you know, I'm holding on to it that I will sing this song with her again. Praise the Lord. I'm holding on to that. Thank you, Jesus. It's a blessing to walk this narrow way. It's a blessing it is to live in the light of this day. There's no greater joy for me than to take this walk with thee. Lord, it's a blessing for me. Oh,
want to stand with Brother Jimmy and his family, Lord God, as they go through a trying time just now. Father, I ask that you, the great comforter, would go and minister to their needs, Lord. Father, how great thou art, Lord God. We can only think of these things, Father, and it's a blessing to us. And because of your greatness, Lord, we bring Sister Bernice's father before you, Lord. Father, intercede, Lord, for our brother, Lord God, who brought such a precious daughter into this world, Lord. You used him, Lord, for a purpose. Father God, because he fulfilled that purpose, Lord God, we're asking your blessings to rain down upon him. May you rain down salvation. May you rain down healing. May you rain down deliverance, Lord God. Oh, Father, liberate him, Lord, for whatever has him bound, Lord, that's trying to take his life. Father, these demons of torment, tormenting him, oh God. But Father, you are the great liberator. Father, you are the great one in our midst, Lord. So we call upon your name. You said whatever. We ask the Father in your name, you would do it. You said if two or three agree as touching anything, you would do it. And we agree, oh Lord God, that you are the one, Lord God, who can raise. For it's by your stripes, Lord God, he was healed. Thank you for these blessings, Lord. And anything that our brothers or our sisters have upon their hearts, Lord, may you grant their heart's desire, Lord. Meet each and every request. Father, we pray again for Brother Jack, oh Lord. Father God, that you will pour out your spirit afresh upon him. May his soul just bubble over with the blessings of Almighty God, with the word of God coming forth this morning. Lord, it's a blessing to walk with you, Lord. And Father, you're bringing the word this morning. Our hearts are ready to receive it, Lord. Father, we know, Lord, that it's only going to make us more like you. So we need it, Lord God. We need you. Come speak to our hearts. Lord God, use our brother. We love you, Father. We praise you. We thank you. It's in the blessed name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Three different brothers said the same thing. We have such a division up here in Denver. We need that. Three different brothers said the same thing. We'll be there in December. I need your phone number so we can make preparations to be down there because we need brotherly love and fellowship like that. So these services, when we have combined services, they are truly a blessing. They are God-sent. Don't find that anywhere else. I haven't heard of it around the world where churches get together in fellowship like this. So we need to put our efforts into it every time it comes up. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have Brothers Prayer Tuesday at 7:30. No home service this weekend, Friday nor Sunday. In the upcoming meetings, we have Brother Nathan's this weekend in New Albany, Indiana. Amen. So everybody get prepared to go. If you can't go, pray for the services and pray for our traveling mercies. God bless you, saints. We like to ask the brothers to come. We'll take up this morning's tithe and offering.
Our heads. Amen. Let us thank you, Father God. Let us gather with your bodies to come here, Father God. Lord, just
He's a mighty warrior, so mine. He is great. Oh, Jehovah is your name. Come on, sing it one more time. Mighty warrior. Great in battle. Oh, Jehovah is your name. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I can't think of the exact words, but I remember the prophet making a statement. I believe it was in the Hebrew series. He say, "You ought to see him in battle." You know, we've seen him in some situations, and you know how he's made a way and opened doors for us and provided for us. But you ought to see him when he goes to battle. The prophet say, "You ought to see him when he goes to battle." And we serve a God that, amen, has never lost a battle. Amen. And if he's on our side and we're on his side, then we can expect to win. No matter what it is that we're facing, we can expect to win. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate you all. On today, we had another little song that we practiced, but I want to save that for a later date, and it's sure to be a blessing. Thank God for the choir. Y'all sound real good. Amen. So appreciate y'all. Amen. This morning, and appreciate both Brother Jeffrey and Sister Burrs as well. I was just listening to that guitar. I was like, my, I appreciate that, Brother Jeffrey. Just thank God for how the Lord is just blessing you. Amen in that. We'll try to get right to the scriptures here. I want to also thank the Lord for the Funderburks. They blessed the church with these monitors. Amen, and we're grateful, grateful for that. I was just kind of sharing a little something, amen. We were just talking, just nothing, you know, just kind of sharing about different things that we can do to improve. And Brother Stephen didn't even tell me, just showed up to church on Wednesday night with these big boxes in his hands. Well, praise the Lord. So I tell you, I just appreciate it. It's just always meaningful when, you know, the Lord just puts it on somebody's heart to do something like that. And I said, man, these massive, you know, this is for, you know, like Brother Wesco size church. And Sister Wesco say, Sister Rachel say, we gonna need it. I said, amen. That's exactly right. I believe that. I receive that. We got to get our language around this. Right? You got to start talking about you leaving. Amen. Get ready for your new church. Glory to God, somebody. Get ready for it. Hallelujah. So I'm under expectation, and I'm very grateful, amen, for the blessing. Here, amen, this morning. Let's turn a couple scriptures here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We're still in our journey here of war strategies, and I believe the Lord will bless us. Last week, I want to thank God for Brother Troy, amen, on last week. I just continue with that thought on worship, and you know, I just appreciate it. I was I was telling, just in my spirit, I was kind of going through some things because, you know, being away from church, you know, when you get back, man, you just wanna do all you can. And we had, you know, we had a pretty long trip coming back home, and I kind of fell, just not necessarily ill, but just wasn't feeling my best. And two things came across my head, like, you know, we got help, so let's use the help, right? And the second thing that came across my mind is that I was very appreciative of Brother Troy being very faithful to coming on Wednesday nights and sharing his thought, because Wednesday night is always a smaller crowd, right? And I say, well, you know, if he's faithful like that to come on a Wednesday night and share his thought, well, let him come on a Sunday morning as well, amen, and share with the saints. And I was just so grateful for, amen, him just coming on last week. We appreciate that. And as you all heard, we got a tremendous amount of people that are going to Indiana. So we just don't have that many brothers that are actually going to be left behind. So we had to not have service here, but that don't mean stay home, right? We want to encourage you. That's a perfect time to go visit, amen. Maybe show up at Brother Wesco Church or Brother Smiley Church, Brother Gene Church, you know, or if you have somebody been pulling on you like, hey, I want you to come visit my church. You come visit me, I'll come visit you. Now, you know, they tell you that, they be lying because they don't never come here. Right, but you can try it, you know, if you want to, you can try it. But that'll be a perfect time to take them up on that offer, you know, while we're away. So, but I want to encourage everyone, try to go somewhere, amen, and worship the Lord, amen, worship the Lord. So keep that in mind. Let's look here, 2 Peter, chapter 1, starting at verse 3, amen. Praise the Lord. We'll get through it. Amen. Give me 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, please, as we read this, understand that what the scriptures that I'm presenting to you are, this is God's objective for us as Christians to come to, amen, a perfect place in him, right? This is his objective, and there are certain qualities or certain things that he's expecting of us, and we're reading about this divine nature here. So this is a perfect place for us to do a self-evaluation, right, as to where we are. You know, when we look in the mirror of the Word of God, Lord, how do I measure up, right? So let's look at this. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And we talked about temperance the last time we preached on this, Brother Branham. Temper is of the devil. Right. And I love the way that kind of slipped right into Brother Troy's thought. He was talking about Cain. He was like one of the first people we saw display a temper. And that temper actually caused him to kill his brother. Amen. So if we have a problem with our temper, that's something we need deliverance from. Right. Because that's of the devil. That's not of God. Amen. All right. So it says here, into knowledge, temperance, into temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they should make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. All right. Let's look at another passage over here in Joshua chapter 5, and I'll have a word of prayer, and I'll let you be seated. Amen. Joshua chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Here at verse 13 in Joshua chapter 5. Amen. It reads as follows, says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And I love this, right? Because as Joshua is in the presence of the Lord, the captain of the Lord's host, Joshua is actually receiving a war strategy. Amen, right? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. You got to be able to read between the lines to see that Joshua is getting a war strategy. Amen. At this moment, let's pray. Amen. Over the word. Father, we thank you for the ability to read scripture. And God, we trust that you would now take what we have read and, Lord, just quicken it out to our hearts. And, oh, God, may we receive, amen, from the word of the Lord today. May we leave encouraged and strengthened by your word. And, God, we just pray that you have your way in this portion of service. We take every spirit that is against the Spirit of God underneath control of the Holy Spirit even right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. So on today, we have this topic of war strategies, patience, but we have to preach this in two parts. Amen. This particular strategy has to be preached in two parts. And I've been certainly just kind of trying to work through which way to go today, because I feel like both of them are necessary. Both parts are necessary. But Brother Branham brings to our attention, when you're listening to the message, Statue of a Perfect Man, when he starts talking about patience, he says there's he talks about two different kinds. He says we have to have patience with God, and then we also have to have patience with one another. Amen. So, which I think both of those are very important for us. And on today, what I want to do is just dwell on the topic patience with God. Amen. War strategies, patience with God. The prophet gave us seven different examples in the sermon, Statue of a Perfect Man. He gives us seven different examples of patience, of people that or a group of people that displayed patience. He talked about Abraham. He talked about Noah. He talked about Moses. He talked about the Hebrew boys. He talked about Daniel. He talked about Paul. And the one thing that I love about when he talked about Paul, he only brought in one sentence about Paul, one or two sentences, but he said Paul had patience. Right. So I'm like, I said, well, that's something. And then he talked about the believers on the day of Pentecost, how they also demonstrated patience by waiting on God, waiting in the upper room until God did something. Amen. I don't want it just to be a song. Amen. I want it to be a reality in my life. Right. There's a song that they sing. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. But really, really, when the trial comes, amen, I think sometimes we do mind waiting. right? We get ahead of God. We get in front of God. We want to beat God to it. We actually want to tell God how to do it. Come on, somebody, right? But we got to learn how to just wait on the Lord. Amen. The scriptures say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen thine heart. Amen. Then he went on to say it again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Right? So we got to learn, amen, as believers to just wait. You got to learn, amen, to understand that sometimes, amen, it might not be your season just yet. Come on, somebody. You might see somebody else get blessed. Praise the Lord. Just because God blessed so-and-so with a car don't mean you supposed to run out there and get one. Hello, somebody. You got to learn to wait on the Lord. Now, what you need to do is rejoice with them in their car. And if you need a car, God will bless you with one. But you got to wait on God. Don't get in a hurry and get in front of God. Don't pray and then expect the answer to happen just like that. Sometimes it does, but not all the time. Hallelujah. We got to learn to wait on the Lord. Amen. Be patient with God. The prophet makes this statement, amen, in this message, the statue of a perfect man. I'm at paragraph 233. He says, patience with what? He says, what kind of patience? First thing is, have patience with God. If you got real, genuine faith, you'll have a real, genuine patience, because faith worketh patience. Amen. Faith worketh patience. That actually ought to be a good indicator to you, amen, that you do have faith. The devil will tell you, oh, you ain't got no faith. You ain't got no faith. But if you're waiting for God to actually vindicate, or God to manifest himself in your situation, it actually shows that you do have faith. You got faith to wait on God. Hallelujah. That no matter what come your way, I'm going to just wait. You know when God made the way. And you also know when you made the way. Come on, somebody. Hey, glory to God. But when God opened up doors, can't no man shut it. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. So that ought to be an indicator to you that I got faith, because I'm able to wait. All right. Glory to God. It says faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it. That's all. Glory to God. You got patience. Say, well, I asked him last night to heal me, and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh, my, what patience. That's not even patience, right? She said, I asked him last night, and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh, my, what patience. God told Abraham, and 25 years later, there wasn't even one sign. Huh? So here this man got a promise, and 25 years later, there's not even one sign of this promise coming forth. And notice what the prophet say. He was still believing. He was patient with God. Uh-huh. Can we just pause there just for a moment? Just reach over to your closest neighbor and say, I'm still believing. I'm still believing. I'm still believing. I know I told you about it. I testified about it last year, but I'm still believing. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm still believing. No matter how long I got to wait, I'm still believing. Praise God. Seemed like everything that turned against me, but I'm still believing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The doctor trying to put me on more medicine, but I still believe. Come on, somebody. I'm still expecting God to touch me. I'm still expecting my healing. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. What? No matter how long we have to wait, you keep your faith and just be patient and wait on the Lord. He says, put him always before you. Let him be the next crossing thing. You can't cross him, so just keep him before you. He said so, and it's going to happen. That's it, Brother Jeffrey. It's going to happen. You know that job you've been waiting on? It's going to happen. Huh? That house, whatever you, it's going to happen. Glory to God, somebody. my family coming in is going to happen. Man, I'm going to just wait on God. I ain't going to quit in the process. That's not even an option. I just do what I always do. I come and worship him and praise him in the midst of whatever I'm going through. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. See, keep him before you. That's right. So here, you know, the prophet uses Abraham in this example. And we know the scripture talks about how Abraham, amen, waited 25 years for the promise that God gave him to come to pass. And here we are, the seed of Abraham. We have to have the same faith. We have to have the same patience. Amen. We have to have the same resolve. The scripture tells us in Luke 21:19, it's in patience. In your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. And let's look at a statement here out of Philadelphian Church Age. The prophet gives us something here that, amen, we want to just bring out. It says Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Glory to God, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He says, what does he mean by the word of his patience? Hebrews 6, verse 13 through 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You see, the Spirit is speaking about the word of God, which is given to us. To wait for the fulfillment of that word required patience. Hallelujah, somebody. To wait for the fulfillment of whatever God has promised you is going to require patience. Even as it did in the case of Abraham, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was patient. Oh, I love that. He was patient, and then the word finally was fulfilled. Now, the first thing has to happen is you have to demonstrate your patience to wait on the Lord. Oh, my. Don't get in a hurry with God. Don't do that. Amen. You know, one of the biggest problems that God had with us is just being able to wait on him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You, think about the Hebrew boys. They had to get in the fire before God showed up, right? I mean, not right before the fire, because we'll see the fire and be like, well, Lord, I can't do that. God, I can't go in there. No, Lord, I can't. I quit. What are you talking about? Amen. You're going to miss your blessing if you don't get inside the fire. You're going to miss, amen, seeing the fourth man. They did not see him before the fire. They saw him in the fire. Hallelujah, church. Glory to God. And I'm here to encourage you. Amen. You might be going from one fiery trial to the next fiery trial, but I'm here to encourage you. He is able to take you through the fire again. He'll carry you through, church. Glory to God. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't worry about it. God got this thing under control. See, I'm still in your Romans 8:28 bucket. I'm still in there. I'm telling you, when you go back and really read that, all things work together. All things. I mean, no matter what it is, all things is working together for your good. Amen. It may not feel good. I'm tired of my boss. I'm tired of this. No. It's working together. It's working together. Hallelujah. But God wants you to be patient. Now, God gonna fulfill his word, but you got to be patient. Oh, my God. Don't take it in your own hands. Don't do that. Hallelujah. When you do that, then God got a way of bringing that thing right back around. Glory to God. You learn patience as you wait on the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. He was patient, and then the word finally was fulfilled. This is the way God teaches his people patience. Look at what he says. Why? If he fulfilled his word in physical manifestations, the very instant you prayed,
And all of us want prayers like that. I'll be honest with you. I just had one answered last night, just like that. I prayed, and I needed a particular person to call me. Say, Lord, I need them to reach out to me. I ain't want to necessarily reach out to them, but I need them to reach out to me. And when I prayed, I said, Lord, I just, you know what I need. And within about 40 minutes, I got a text. I said, praise God. Praise God. This is exactly what I needed, right? And then that opened up the door for me to share some things. Hallelujah. But I couldn't go before God. I had to wait. Now, sometimes God will do that, but not all the time. There are some times that I needed God to, Lord, I need this done by this time. Can I tell on myself? I need this done by this time. And me, I'm talking about me. I get in the way of God. God, if you don't do it by this time, that's really what I'm saying in my prayer. I got a plan B, God. Amen. I might not have told him that with my words, but God knew my heart. And he let me go right on with plan B. Plan B will put you more in debt. Somebody say amen in here. Plan B will delay the promise from being manifested. Hallelujah, somebody. Plan B is a temporary satisfaction. You need to stay and wait for plan A. But I'm not going to take plan B. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is a good God. Amen. He knows exactly what you need and when you need it. You don't tell God you got no deadlines. Like he didn't see you get that notice. God, you see it. God knows exactly all about it. Amen. You just learn to wait on God. You present it and wait. All right. Hello. My God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the way God teaches his people patience. While if he fulfilled his word and physical manifestations the very instant you prayed, you would never learn patience. Hallelujah. But you would become even more impatient with life. Now that's all of life. I mean, you think about it, you know, your waiting on God and learning how to be patient caused you to be patient with other people. Right? Amen. Right? So you become even more impatient with life. Let me show you, and I don't know if I didn't bring that here. It's going to come back around in the second part of the sermon. Let's just keep going. It says, let me show you this truth even more fully set forth. Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, the word of God, offered up his only begotten son. There it is. Abraham was tried after he received the word of promise. So this is key. After you get a word from the Lord, then you're going to be tried on that word. All right. After he received the word of promise, most think that as soon as we pray in Jesus' name, glory to God, over the good promises of God, that there could not be a trial. But here it says that Abraham was tried after he received the promise. That is exactly correct according to the psalmist referring to Joseph in Psalms 105:19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Look, God gives us exceeding great and precious promises. He has promised to fulfill them. He will. I believe that. But from the time we pray until the time we get the answer, we must learn to receive patience into our souls. See, patience is working at a deeper level. Amen. It's not just your flesh being satisfied quickly. But God wants to do something down at the soul level. Listen, he says we must learn to receive patience into our souls, for only in patience do we possess life. May God help us to learn this lesson, even as we know the people of the sixth age learned patience. We read the history of the lives of these great Christians. What a contrast we see between their lives and ours, for they were so patient and quiet, and today we are all but overcome and over impatience and haste. We're overcome by over impatience and haste. We want things to happen real fast. You know, I mean, oh, yeah, I saw that happen for you, but now I got to get me one, too. And you get in debt like that, right? You get in debt when you're trying to capitalize on somebody else's blessing. That ain't your blessing. That's their blessing. Praise the Lord. You got to wait for your blessing. Hallelujah. And you'll know when God's done it. You'll know when God's done it. If God ain't done it, it's just going to be all kind of opposition. All kind of opposition. And then you just keep trudging through. And you think you actually moving by faith. Amen. You actually think you moving by faith, but God just keeps sending you warning after warning. No. Just wait for me. Wait. Don't get ahead of me. And that's in anything in life. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. He talked about Noah. Amen. He made a statement here. And see, Noah preached for 120 years. And this, Brother Branham said, that's plenty of patience. This man preaching for 120 years and not even dew from heaven. No dew anywhere from heaven. But yet he's still waiting on God. He still believes that what God told him. Think about this. I mean, let this really sink in. What the man is 120 years later. And he believed that what God told him 120 years ago. Is still going to be fulfilled. Now think about where we at. We got, amen, we got a promise that we've been waiting on for 120 minutes. About 2 hours. We've been waiting on this thing to be fulfilled, and we get ahead of God. Because if that thing don't happen, now God, I'm going to give you a chance. Who are we working with here? Right? God is not a man. Amen, that he should lie. If he promised it, it's going to come to pass. We don't put stipulations on God. God does not operate by our time. He is an eternal being. Lord, I'm going to give you a chance. Now, I'm going to need you to do it like this and like that. No, you don't do God that way. Amen. You just learn to wait on him. And however he decides to do it, that's his prerogative. Glory to God, church. He said, Noah waited 120 years. Amen. No sign of rain from nowhere, but yet he was still believing, say, just as dusty as it ever was for 120 years, but he was patient. Now, I want to read this statement here from the prophet because I think this would be real, real good. This is out of paragraph 237 in the Statue of a Perfect Man. He says, Noah had patience. Yeah, Noah had real godly patience. God said, I'm going to destroy this world with rain. And Noah preached 120 years. Yet, plenty of patience, not even dew from heaven, not even dew fell from heaven, wasn't nothing. Just as dusty as it ever was for 120 years, but he was patient. Now, look at this. Then God tries your patience. That's right. God tries them. I want you to think about that. You can take it down. I want to stop right there. Brother Branham say here, Noah's waiting 120 years, and then he tries his patience. Now, when I think about that, just waiting 120 years is trial enough. That's trial enough. But when Brother Branham makes this statement, he's going a little deeper when he say, God will try your patience. Oh, y'all got to stay with me on this one. Now, it's one thing when, amen, Noah's preaching and only people seem to agree with his message is his family. And only people that he can get in the boat after preaching for 120 years, the only amount of people he can get inside of a boat is 8. And everybody that's in the boat is related to him. Now, that's very discouraging that I can do all this preaching and not touch nobody's life. 120 years of preaching and nobody, amen, nobody's impacted by it. But when he said that God will try your patience, he was going a little deeper than that. Because when they finally got on the ark, hallelujah, Brother Branham said that God might have told Noah, go get everybody in the ark because I'm going to send the rain tomorrow. Hallelujah. And Noah, by faith, would go and get everybody on the ark, and then no rain come on the next day. Oh, Jesus. And he say, at that time, maybe the first thing happened is his wife, the closest thing to him, begins to come next to him. And this is how God begins to try his patience. He lets his wife come and begin to doubt what he was saying. Noah, are you sure God told you this? After 120 years, the boat is complete. Animals are coming. And now God tries his patience by sending his wife to question everything he believed. And God knows how to try you. Huh? Because the wife is the closest thing to you. And you don't want to disappoint her. Right? So God will try your patience by letting her say something. And you got to watch what you say back. You got to watch how you respond because God is trying your patience. And all Noah can say is, it's going to rain, dear. God told me 120 years ago, and I still believe it, it's going to rain. Another trial to the patience. I'm preaching all this right from a man's statue of a perfect man. If you go back and listen to just that section, you'll see I got this from there. Another trial to the patience. Maybe the wife say, I can't get through to him. And the kids go to mama. And the kids say, mama, daddy says it's going to rain. And here come the boys now. The boys say, daddy. Now, mama been asking you this question. You ain't really getting no answer, daddy. We on this boat. We got animals here. We got that. And you said it was going to rain yesterday. It ain't rained yet. It ain't rained yet. Daddy, what? Daddy, are you sure? And he'd probably look at his boy and say, after 120 years of preaching, and you all get down to the wire, the boat is complete. The animals have come. It's going to rain. Not only that, God, you saw God close the door. You saw these things, and now you get this. They in the ark doubting. In the ark. Not outside. That's not a trial with the ones that's outside. We talk about what's happening on the inside. These people are in the ark casting doubt. And now God closed the door. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't get out. Come on, son. Hey, it's time to tell the devil that. With all the doubt that you bring, even if I wanted to, I couldn't get out of this. I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in this promise. They own the ark, in the ark, doubting. That's heavy. And that this is Noah's church. This is Noah's family. This is what Noah produced after 120 years of preaching. This is what Noah got. And he looks at it and say, oh, my. I mean, and only words he has from God told me, it's going to rain. And what you do is you find yourself as the only believer. Oh, y'all ain't with me. You find yourself standing alone. You find yourself standing there by yourself. You expected this one to be with you. You expected that one to be with you. But no, you're standing alone. And God want to know, do you still believe? You still going to be patient? You still going to wait? The good thing about this is even, like I say, even if Noah tried to leave, he couldn't leave. But you know the other good thing about that? Even if his family, I don't care how much you doubt, even if they tried to leave, they couldn't leave. And eventually it settles in that we in this together. But what you got to do is let it settle in and don't argue it in. Don't force it in. Don't push it in. Eventually, revelation will hit that we're in this thing together. Right. Oh, yes, and Lord could just say, son, if you was going to doubt, you should have been on the other side of the door. But now that you're in here, God going to make a believer out of you. Ooh, Jesus. God tries your patience. That's right. God tries them. Look at this. Oh, my. I like this one here. Brother Branham said Moses had patience. Moses knew that he had to just wait on the Lord. And what happened with Moses is that he got this, you know, this startling, amen, thing that happened to him on the backside of the desert. And he's there, and God has a rod in his hand, and God said, throw down the rod. And the rod turns into a snake. Now, according to the scripture, Moses began to run from that snake. He is afraid of snakes. So as he's running from the snake, then God challenges him, hallelujah, because see, you can either be moved by fear or you can be moved by faith. And what God has to do is actually challenge the faith, cause that to rise up on the inside. And he said, now I told you to throw down that snake. I didn't tell you what was going to happen. I just told you to throw it down. He threw it down by faith. It turned into a snake. He ran from it. He said, now go back and pick up the snake. Right. Now that's challenging your faith where you have to overcome your fear. Right. Nobody is there with Moses. Right. No children, no wife, no other shepherds. It's only Moses and the snake. And I can imagine that snake would not move. Not move. One going anywhere. And Moses had to reach down by faith, pick it up, not knowing what was going to happen. And when he reaches down and picks it up, it turns back to a stick. This just taking Moses to another level. And then he said, now, Moses, I want you to do something. Now you know, you done reached down in your bosom for years. Now, I want you to do it again. Reach down in your bosom and put your hand out. He thought he was just doing something like it. Like when he come out, white as lepers. He said, oh, my goodness. Now, he's probably wondering in his mind, what was in there? If my hand went in there and touched it, what's in there to cause my hand to do this? And now put your hand back in there. Wait a minute. If it wasn't anything in there, then I'm going to cause the rest of my body to become contaminated. By faith, he takes his hand, puts it right back down, and brings it back out. He's healed. Hallelujah. Then Moses takes this down to Egypt. He was encouraged. He was inspired. And he goes down to Egypt. And when he gets to Egypt, he thought he had himself something. Pharaoh, let my people go. And he's just sitting there just kind of, you know, he got this confidence. And he takes it and throws down his rod. I told you, Pharaoh, let my people go. It turns into a snake. And Moses thought like everybody's going to be like him, running like he ran. But that wasn't the case. When he threw it down, Pharaoh looked at Moses, that's all you got? Say, Moses, you know that's a cheap magician trick. Now, my question is, what are these magicians practicing? That Pharaoh would say that's a cheap magician trick. Hallelujah. I love this. Look at this statement. I'm going to just read the statement. I won't read the whole quote. Brother Branham say, when you done exactly what he said do, seem like it went wrong, stand still and be patient. I want to say that again. When you done exactly what he said do, seem like it went wrong, stand still and be patient. Any of y'all in some situations where it seemed like those are key words. Key words. It seemed like it went wrong. Well, I got an answer for you this morning. Stand still. Be patient. Moses stood there, and when he, a cheap magician trick, he just stood there patient, waiting on God. He didn't know what God, God never even told him. Now, Moses, you're going to throw down your rod, and they're going to throw down their rod, and it's going to become snakes, and then I'm going to take your snake, and I'm going to eat up it. He didn't tell Moses none of that. Moses had to stand there by faith and wait for God to do what God was going to do. And before you know it, Moses' snake devoured the first one. Moses' snake devoured the second one. And then he reached down and picked up his rod again by the snake, the snake's tail, picked it up again. Now the question is, now where are your snakes? If you throw some more down here, we're going to take them up too. Oh, come on, somebody. But that didn't happen until Moses demonstrated patience. Moses didn't get up and get upset with God and run out of the room like, Lord, you didn't tell me that was going to happen. He ain't got to tell you everything that's going to happen. He just wants you to be patient. The Hebrew boy showed patience by waiting on God in the fire furnace. Daniel showed patience by waiting in the lion's den. And it's just a real quick statement that the prophet makes here in the statue of Pergamum. It says Paul had patience. It says certainly did. Look what Paul had to do. Talk about patient. Now that's all the prophet said about Paul, but never went into any detail. He said Paul had patience. Glory to God. Certainly did. Look what Paul had to do. Talk about patience. I'm like, I say, Lord, well, what did? How did Paul have patience? I went back to Acts 23:11. Let's read this real quick. Acts 23:11. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. It says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, Paul was going through some trials there in Jerusalem. And, you know, I mean, there were people that were threatening that they were going to kill Paul. They were going to do everything they could. It just so happened that Paul had a nephew that kind of let him in on some of the secrets. They were waiting on Paul to come through a certain path, and they were going to take Paul out. My God! But somehow God, you know, responded, and he brought Paul through that situation. Glory to God! The same way that He'll bring you through whatever situation that the devil has planned against you. And here He gives Paul a promise. He says, you know, as you testified of me in Jerusalem, I also want you to bear witness of me in Rome. And you're going to testify of me in Rome. Now, he's in Jerusalem, but pretty much he's saying you're going to Rome. You're going to make it to Rome. Now, God's ways are not our ways. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We think going to Rome, maybe get in a plane and just go to Rome, or get in a boat at that time and just go to Rome. God had other ideas of how he was going to get Paul to Rome. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, don't matter how you get to Rome, just as long as you get to Rome. Oh, glory to God. Now, as I start, I just read out of Acts 23, amen, that Paul was on his way to Rome. And it's only in Acts 28 that we find Paul in Rome. Hallelujah. So there's some things that happened from Acts 23, amen, to Acts 28, amen, on his way to Rome. Now, the first thing is in Acts 24, he was taken to Felix, who prolonged judgment for 2 years. Amen. The man should have been released from prison, but this man prolonged judgment until he was actually pushed out of office. My God. He was hoping that Paul would give him some money to buy his freedom. Paul stayed right in jail and didn't give the man nothing. Hallelujah. The man ended up losing, amen, his place, and then the next governor comes in. My God. And we find him in Acts 25. His name is Festus. Glory to God. He replaced Felix, and here Paul is appealing to stand before Caesar. Amen. My God, he's talking to Festus, but he said, I appeal. I want to go to Caesar. Where is Caesar? Caesar's in Rome. Hallelujah. but he's stuck over here, amen, for 2 years, and now he's coming underneath the next rule, and he said, I want to go to Caesar. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Because he remembers the prophecy that he used to bear witness also in Rome. While he's there underneath Festus, King Agrippa comes. Hallelujah. And I love this part right here. He stood before King Agrippa, and he began to give his personal testimony. King, as he's standing there before King Agrippa, now Paul is a man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But when he stands before a king, get this. When he stands before a king, rather than talk about all the deep revelations that God gave him, Paul just began to share his personal testimony. And I want you to know, by Paul's personal testimony, King Agrippa says, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Not with his deep revelations. Not with his deep understanding. But with his personal testimony, he almost persuades King Agrippa to become a Christian. I love that. All you need is your personal testimony. That's all some people need to hear, just how God did this for you. How you get to where you at right now. It's a personal testimony. Hallelujah. Be willing to share your personal testimony. Listen at this. Finally in Acts 27, because he has asked to go to before Caesar. Acts 27, they're finally loosed and they set sail for Rome. But in the midst of sailing to Rome, the Bible says that they get caught by a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. So this is what I get from this, is that if Acts 23 say you're going to Rome, and in the midst of going to Rome, I got to go through Euroclydon, I am still in the will of God, and I'm going to Rome. I hope y'all get that. The devil might be attacking you with a tempestuous wind. And oftentimes when we have real serious trials, we begin to doubt whether we're in the will of God or not. I'm here to tell the devil he's a liar. Even in Euroclydon, I am in the perfect will of God, and I'm going to Rome. See, all things are working together for good. I don't care about Euroclydon. You got another name for the storm? Because I'm going to make it through Euroclydon. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, church. Not only is Paul going to make it through the tempestuous wind, but in this trial, God tells Paul that everybody that's with you gonna be spared. But there's only one thing they need to do. Stay on the boat. In Noah's day, they had to get in the boat. Now, in Paul's day, you got to stay on the boat if you're gonna be spared. Hallelujah. Don't jump ship. I just feel like telling y'all that. Don't jump ship. Whatever you do, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. God got this thing under control. Hallelujah. In your marriage, don't jump ship. In your relationship, don't jump ship. On your job, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. Don't. I can't take no more of this. And I'm in Euroclydon. I'm being hit from all sides. Don't jump ship. You're still in the will of God. Everybody that's sailing with him going to be spared. They couldn't get out the boat if they were going to survive. And then eventually the ship became stuck, and the soldiers desired to kill some of the prisoners because they were thinking that they're going to escape. Now here's the thing. When you read the scripture, the captain of the soldiers, because Paul was on board the ship, and he, even though he was a captive, amen, because Paul was there, that man said, I'm not going to kill these prisoners because Paul is in the midst. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are some people being spared. Oh, church, they're not. There are some people being spared death because you were involved. Oh, hallelujah, church. Glory. The reason that job is blessed is because you need the blessing. Amen. Paul was on board, and even though he was a prisoner, the centurion refused the request of the soldiers. Now look at this. When the ship was stuck, the front end was stuck, but the back end was in the water just being beat up against, you know, the waves just beating it and just knocking boards and everything off. Now you got some people on the ship that I'm a prisoner, but I don't know how to swim. So you ain't got to worry about me running nowhere. I'm going wherever y'all going. By this time, they done cut all the boats. All the safety rafts have been cut from the ship. So all they got now is, amen, it's just some boards. Hallelujah. And what they were encouraged to say, those that can swim, go ahead and swim to shore. But those that can't swim, just grab a hold of one of the broken pieces. And you just begin to float up to shore on broken pieces. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can make it on broken pieces. And even though you're floating up there on broken pieces, you're still in the will of God. Because you got to go to Rome. Hallelujah. You can make it on broken pieces. If everything around you seems like it's falling apart, you can still make it on broken pieces. God help me, Jesus. Woo. You're still in the perfect will of God, even when you're enduring Euroclidon. When you've done exactly what he said for you to do, and it seemed like everything went wrong, stand still, be patient. They get to shore. They're not in Rome yet. They're just on shore. They just made it up to shore. Paul is cold. Paul wants to stand by fire. Paul reaches out in the fire to fix some wood and gets bit by a snake. And when the people saw what kind of snake it was, they say, immediate death. Immediate. And they just looked at him, just wait. No doctor could help him, nothing. This man gonna die right now. Everybody was expecting death. But there was a promise. Paul was wrapped in a promise all the way in Acts 23 that say you're gonna stand in Rome and you're gonna be a witness. So let me tell you something. Every trial that Paul went through on his way to Rome became witness material. I can stand and say I was bit by a snake, but I'm still here. I faced Euroclidon, but I'm still here. Whatever the devil has tried has failed because I'm still here. Glory to God. I love this. Everything you've tried, you've done exactly what he said do. Seemed like it went wrong. You just stand still and be patient. Watch God do what he's going to do. Oh, I just believe this. I believe this. Amen, amen. It was only in Acts 28, he bit by that snake, but he just shook it off. And I want to encourage you, shake it off, whatever the devil throwing, just that Brother Wesker used to sing the song, shake, 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 shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake it off. They talked about that the mule that got trapped, amen, in the well, and they couldn't figure out how to get the mule out. So they just begin to throw dirt in the well. And when they throw dirt in the well, it would hit the back of the mule. And when the mule fell on his back, the mule just shake. And then they throw some more dirt, and he shake. and they throw some more dirt, and he just shake. But every time he shake, the dirt was going down to his feet, building up the foundation. Huh? Amen. And every time he shake, he actually raising higher. They throw more down, and he shake, and he raise a little bit higher. Glory to God. And they didn't, and before you know it, they put enough dirt in there where the mule was able to come out on his own. Glory to God. The devil may be throwing dirt. You just shake. You're going to come out this thing. You're going to overcome this thing. Glory to God. You just be patient and wait on God. Watch him bring you through. Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake him off. My God. The prophet also said the Pentecost believers had to wait until they were endued with power from on high. And let me just give you a scripture on that. Hebrews 10, verse 35 through 38. Oh, God, help us, Jesus. Amen. He says this in the scripture, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and ye that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I want to tell you, just wait on God. You have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. The just are going to live by faith. Just keep waiting, church. Whatever you do, just keep waiting. Hallelujah. There's a little testimony here that I just want to share with you, and we'll slip over, amen, to this war strategy. The prophet says this in the message, the hour has come. Says recently, she had sent one of those handkerchiefs to her sister for her little baby that had a club foot. And she told the lady, she said, you tie the handkerchief on its foot and the Lord is going to heal it. So she left the handkerchief on about 2 weeks and it got so dirty. And she said, you can wash it and then put it back on. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. You can wash it and then put it back on. So she did, and the handkerchief getting kind of old and worn. She said, well, there's no difference in the baby's foot. Said, I guess I might as well take it off. And she said, oh, don't you do that. Said, if it comes to pieces, you tie it with strings. Then tie it back on there. She said, because I know that it will get well. She's seen so many things done in the meetings. And the woman did that. She just had a few strings of that handkerchief tied on the baby's foot. And one morning she went to get the baby. And the Lord had been there that night. Come on, somebody. That I love the scripture say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. Do you know, we went and heard the quote where the angel of the Lord passed through the neighborhood, but this time the prophet say the Lord himself showed up that night. Hallelujah, somebody. All we waiting on him, we just waiting on God to show up. This situation going to change. Listen, say she brought the, where am I? And she brought the baby, I'm sorry. And the woman did that, just a few strings of that handkerchief tied on the baby's foot. One morning she went to get the baby, and the Lord had been there that night, and the baby's foot was straight. And she brought the baby to the meeting to show, and brought the strings that was left on the handkerchief, and had the baby's picture before and where it was then, how the little baby's foot was clubbed in like that. A little baby about 8 or 10 months old, and there was the little baby's foot just as normal as any other baby. Now, what if she just threw the handkerchief away and say, well, that's where we miss the blessings. Don't throw it away. Don't throw the promise away. That's where we miss the blessings. We're afraid to wait on God. Hallelujah. We're afraid to wait on God just a little bit. So you see, you heard that, only wait. Again, I hear that whisper, only wait. It won't be very long. Even now the Father's hand is pleading. Soon with Jesus we will sing the victory song. That's right. Just wait on God. Believe it. Confess it. Stay with it. And God will bring it to pass for you. Believe it. Confess it, stay with it, God will bring it to pass for you. I love that. I want to just kind of slip over here. I'll kind of cut back on some of my notes. But, you know, as we talk about this war strategy, amen, and we're just going back. We're taking what we see here in what we see here through the church ages, and I'm sorry, through the seven virtues, and what we're doing is applying these different virtues to different things that happen in Scripture, different wars that might have happened in Scripture. And when I thought about this, there were a couple of them that came to mind, but the one that I wanted to use today was, amen, the war strategy found in Joshua. Because as we talked about, Joshua's there having a conversation with the captain of the Lord's host. He went approaching the captain of the Lord's host. Now, and notice Joshua was standing back waiting. Said, look, I know God gave us this land. And God already told me, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Say, not one man will be able to stand before you. So Joshua did not have any fear. Joshua went approaching, amen, the captain of the host is now, are you for us or are you against us? Right? Because I need to know this. I need to know. And he say, I'm neither. He say, but I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And when Joshua recognized that this was the presence of God, Joshua bowed himself to, on his face and he began to worship. Glory to God. The same experience where Moses was told to take off his shoes in the presence of God. Now Joshua's been told the same thing. So, not, and Brother Branham say that pillar of fire that Moses saw in the bush had now become a man. And Joshua standing here before this man, Joshua receives, or amen, has a download to his system. Amen. And he receives strategy for war. Hallelujah. And then you go into Joshua 6 and you see what his strategy is. His strategy is he tells the people, say, now, we're going to pit of Jericho as our first battle. And what we're going to have to do is march around the walls 7 days, one time. Hallelujah. The strategy is just to march around the wall. Now, understand it requires patience. Glory to God. To just do exactly what God say. March around these walls 7 times. And then on the 7th day, we're going to march 7 times on the 7th day. Now, this requires a lot of patience. Not only does Joshua have to have patience to wait on God, but Joshua has to have patience with the people. He has to have patience with the people. And not only does Joshua have to have patience with the people, but the people have to have patience with each other. For 7 days, we can't talk. For 7 days, we can't sing. But we all got to march. Hallelujah. We got to march the way that the word tells us to march. Maybe you got somebody that's in the camp that said, we done marched for 4 days and ain't nothing happened. And they telling you in the camp, we done marched these 4 days and Pastor Joshua want us to march again. Say, I'm not going out there to march. And then you got to go and work with your brother. You got to go work with your sister. No, God gave this commandment to all of us. Amen. And if you don't march, you got him to everybody. I know you don't feel like marching, but you got to get yourself up and you got to march with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you going to rejoice with us, then you better be marching with us. Hallelujah, somebody. You got to encourage your brother. You got to have patience. You got to wait. Amen. Wait on the Lord and wait on them. Hallelujah. While you're waiting, say, no. And you finally get them to the 7th day. So now this going to be it now. And they tell you, say, now, you know what today is? Yeah, today is victory day. No, you realize what today is. Yeah, today the wall is going down. No, you realize we got to march. You know how hard it's been just to march one time per day? Now 7 times. 7 times. You know, that's going to be very difficult. And you got to have somebody that's in the camp that got it like a real bubbly spirit. Come on, somebody. That can just kind of tell us, I know it's going to seem like it's tougher. But maybe if we just kind of get a little cadence in our mind. Huh? Because they say that about soldiers. Amen. The way sometimes they forget about how they feel, they just start singing them songs. Hallelujah. Now we can't say a word. We can't shout. We can't do nothing. But let's just get something in our mind. Oh, God. Because God didn't say they couldn't have that. But maybe if everybody's singing the same song in their mind, it gives them strength. It gives them courage just to kind of keep marching. And as they march and they go around one time, they go around two times, they go around three, all the way to seven times, and they finally, maybe somebody's just ready to just give up. Now they thinking to themselves, ain't no way I'm going to be ready for a battle after doing all this walking. Well, I got good news. You don't have to fight anyway. Hallelujah. God just needed you to be patient. And God was going to fulfill his word once you did exactly what he asked you to do. Now Joshua said, now give me the seven priests. He said, we're going to blow the trumpet, and when I bid you shout, just let out the greatest shout. Now, can you imagine how tired they were? Oh, come on, church. Can you imagine how weak they were? But here in their weakest moment, God is asking for the greatest shout. Oh, God. When you try out in your finances, when everything coming against you, that's when God asks you to give. Huh? I mean, when you just, whoa, I can't give no more. God say, now give it now. Try it. I mean, you try. I mean, here they're just weak as I don't know what. But now God wants the greatest shout you got. And by faith, Joshua said on the count of three, I want y'all to shout like you ain't never shouted before. One, two, three, shout!
Glory to God!
Hallelujah! And as they begin to worship, even when they didn't feel like worshiping, the walls begin to come down. It was a battle that they did not have to fight. All they did was wait on God, and God proved his word. You've been waiting on God. Now God is going to prove his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is a war strategy. Hallelujah. Your enemy is already defeated. Glory to God, church. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah to God. I believe this. I don't believe we're just going through these sermons just to go through sermons. God is getting ready to bring manifestation into our life because we are applying each strategy. Not only are we getting victory in the natural, but our soul is being changed to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to talk like Jesus. It's happening on the inside, manifesting itself on the outside. Every virtue will be applied. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I believe this. I believe this. When they were tired, when they were weary, weak, God said, give me your best shout. Give me your best shout. And they gave it to God. You watch what God do. Some of y'all situation changing right now while you in here. Things are changing right now. I believe we serve the same God. Remember, I can't think of the brother's name right now, but Brother Branham told the brother, he said, I give you your children. What was his name? Anybody remember his name? I give you your children. In the name of the Lord, the man was in church worshiping, praising God. I give you. By the time the man got home, Brother Dalton. And by the time Brother Dalton got home, the children were calling him saying, Daddy, I want to be saved. Huh? You think God loved Brother Dalton more than he loved you? No, he don't love God. He loved you equally. And if he's able to give, oh, my God, our God don't give gifts, amen, that are not equal to everybody. Huh? Amen. He wants to show that, hey, I love him just as much. He prayed for his kids. You praying for your kids. And I give you your kids. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. This war strategy. I got patience with God. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Look, a couple things here As we wind this up out of the message, we would see Jesus. The prophet says, now I believe that all scripture is given by inspirations. And the scripture has got to be right, or all of it right. Or there might be that if we could say some of it's right and some of it's not right, then we get ourselves all mixed up. I just believe that it's all the truth. Now, I may not be able to have faith to make it all manifested. It's promised and so forth to bring them to pass. But I will never stand in somebody's way that does have faith to do it. Amen. I might not climb where Enoch did and take an afternoon walk with God and go home with him. I might not have that much faith, and I might not have enough faith to shout like Joshua that knocked the walls down, but I certainly not stand in anyone's way who does have that type of faith. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah, I just made the comment. I said, if God be with us, then where is all his miracles? Get that one next. I just said that just the way Brother Dalton received, and you know, and the Holy Spirit through the prophet said, I give you your children. Well, I just said it here this morning. The Holy Spirit now through me has said the same thing. I give you your children. Right. Amen. Right. We gotta catch when God's speaking. Right? And the same way Hattie, right. All she did was just say that's nothing but the truth. Right? And when she said it, you know what? God was pleased. God was pleased with what Hattie Wright, her response to the word, God was pleased with that. And God gave Hattie Wright her two boys. Praise God. Amen, church. Amen. I receive my promise. Amen. I receive my promise. I don't want to just wait to get to the other side to shout with my kids. I want to shout with them here. I be talking to my grandson. I mean, he don't know what I be saying, but I just be speaking over him because he got this little sound that he be. I say, man, you sound like a little donkey, man. What's the matter? And then I say, no, you know what? You sound like one of them asthma preachers. You going to be an asthma preacher? I'm speaking it over, man. You can get up and say, just, God said, I don't care as long as you're doing something for the Lord. And I'll be sitting in the chair, preach, Elias. Preach, come on. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Church, I see myself saying amen to my grandson. I'm going to say it again. I see myself saying amen to my grandson. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why can't I have that? Other people want their children to be doctors and lawyers. Why can't we have a preacher? Woo. I'm praying God to keep them. Lord, keep them with a heart and mind stayed on you. Because I know how the devil want to destroy. But God, be his keeper. Glory to God. Amen, amen, church. Amen. Speak these things. Call these things over our kids. Glory to God. Call it. Speak it over them. When they in your presence, speak all that all over them. Man, going to be a daughter of God. Gonna be in a big encouragement to the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Whatever her gift that you've given her, Lord, it's gonna be used for your glory. Speak it. Oh my. Oh my. Glory, hallelujah. I believe this. If God be with us, then where's all the miracles? The prophet says this. Joshua, that great conqueror, the successor of Moses, a man that God loved, a mighty warrior, a man that God loved. God told him, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. But before the walls fell, Joshua marched according to the chief captain's orders. See, that's why I said he was receiving instruction from the captain of the host. He was receiving war strategies. Listen, amen. Joshua marched according to the chief captain's orders around the wall 13 times before the power of God ever struck the thing. He marched around the wall and sounded the trumpet according to the word of God that the chief captain told him out there when he met him. He marched according to the word of God. What did he do? He acted upon the word before he saw the miracle. You know, just to sound a trumpet don't shake down a wall that you can run chariot races around. Sounding a trumpet, but God said, just march around the wall seven times. And the last day, march seven and 13 times. And as you go around the wall at the last time, let the priest go before with the ark and sound the trumpet. And when the trumpet sounds, the walls will shake down. What did they do? He saw the miracle of God after he acted on the word of God. Where's your miracles? Act on his word first. You want to see miracles? Act on the word first. And when you receive the promise, wait until that promise is fulfilled. How could the walls be shook down and leave one little house standing? A harlot's house. Now I'm going to tell you, even in her situation, she was patient waiting on God. Couldn't wait for them spies are coming to the land. As soon as she saw them, she pulled them to her house. She had been patient waiting on God. And then when she finally got the spies in, she decided to do exactly what they say, leave this little scarlet thread out your window. Now, I don't care. She didn't care about people criticizing her. What you doing with the scarlet thread? Oh, that's the harlot's house. No, this is the house where salvation going to be found. Amen, amen, amen. Says, how could the walls be shook down and leave one little house standing in a harlot's house? Because she acted on the word of God. Why did the rest of them die and she live? Amen, I like that. God can save harlots. God can save prostitutes. God can save pimps. God can do it, and God will change their lives. And I'm going to tell you, when God do it, you wouldn't even know they used to live that lifestyle. Amen. Amen. I look at my brother-in-law, it's hard. It's hard for people to say that he used to live the life that he used to live because we done seen him living this so long. Amen. Amen. She acted on the word of God. Why did the rest of them die and she lived? She acted on the word of God, and she saw the miracle of God. That's the way to find it. Act on the word. Let me finish with this message, the resurrection. And I had to finish here because the prophet spoke this in West Palm Beach. Glory to God. It says, now I believe I told the truth or an error. It says, I have the Bible here to back up. Tell me I told the truth. The Holy Spirit is here. I believe that if each one of you will be sincere in your heart now, you will get just what you ask for. If each one of you will be sincere in your heart now, you will get just what you ask for. Says, now when Joshua crossed the river of Jordan, they marched around Jericho, and then they let out a shout. Y'all did that this morning? Y'all did that this morning? Then they let out a shout. The walls of Jericho fell, and they went in and took the city. Amen. I was reading a quote that just encouraged me this week. If God made you a promise, Brother Branham said, go take it. He said, just go take it. God gave me this promise. Now you just go take it. Don't wait for it to come to you. Go get it. I'm taking my promise. Because sometimes the devil be holding up your promise. Amen. Glory to God. We got to balance that, right? He said, now Joshua crossed the river of Jordan. They marched around Jericho, and then they let out a shout. The walls of Jericho fell, and they went and took the city. All want this afternoon? You want healing? Let's go in and take it. If you want healing, it's yours. God promised it to you. It's yours. If you want salvation, it's yours. But let's go in and take it. Hey, I want the restoration of my family. Right? Amen. I want to see my children delivered. I was sitting here and listening to Mama testify, and she say she gonna sing again. I said, amen. If you sung before, you gonna sing again. With my sister, with her children playing. Huh? I'm taking it, devil. With my words, I am taking it. Amen. You are a liar. Loose my family. Let them go. The same God that delivered in Egypt is the same God delivering today. There is no case too hard for God. Hallelujah, somebody. Don't wait for it. You take it. Take it. It belongs to you, church. Amen, amen. I feel walls coming down. Feel situations changing. Amen. I feel God is on the scene. Amen. Whatever you need, God's got it this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Blessed be his holy name. Woo. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm feeling all right. Glory to God, glory to God. I'm going to pray, but we're going to sing too. Amen, we're going to sing. We're going to get the choir up here. We're going to sing this song that I was going to try to hold back. Amen, but I'm going to sing it because I need to let the devil know where I'm at right now. Amen. While I'm waiting on God, I got blessed quietness. Amen, blessed quietness. Come on, choir. Y'all come on. Let's have a word of prayer, church. Amen. As the choir comes. Father, we just thank you, O God, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your truth. Thank you, God, that we can hold, amen, to every promise that you've made. And as we're waiting, knowing that what you spoke to us, it will be fulfilled. There is no devil that can stop it from coming to pass. Lord, all you require for us to do is just wait. Just be patient, Lord, and that's exactly what we're going to do. I pray, Lord, that your church has been strengthened. I pray that your church has been encouraged through the word of the Lord. And God, may you get all the glory. May you get all the honor from, amen, the testimonies that would go forth on the other side of our trials. God, we're taking healing. We're taking salvation. We're taking restoration. We're taking deliverance. God, these are promises that belong to us. And God, we believe the Holy Spirit is here to enforce our claims, to enforce, amen, every promise that we have made. You are here to enforce it. And Father, we are under expectation that it will be exactly like we said. It'll be exactly like we believe. Hallelujah. We receive it now with thanksgiving. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. 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 We come just to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see here. Amen. This little song that they used to do this back in, amen, the Baptist church that we come from years ago. And I remember as a little boy, this song had been given to me. And I went to the meeting one year and we sung it at a meeting. And that song went all the way to Australia. And the brother said, "Brother, you know, you remember this song here that you did?" I said, "Yeah, I remember that. I remember that." And I completely forgot about it. But sometimes God likes to bring a song right back around in different seasons of your life, right? And this was a season, amen, that I think we all need some blessed quietness.
Amen.
Holy quietness and assurance that God has everything under control. Amen. Let's sing it. Amen.
verse.
Oh, what a wonder. What a wonderful salvation. Where we always see his face. Yeah, what a peaceful.
What a peaceful.
Habitation.
Habitation.
What a quiet resting place.
Yeah, let the old boy say.
Holy quietness.
Holy quietness.
What a sure rest.
What a sure rest.
Way down.
On the stormy sea.
My Jesus.
Peace.
Everybody lift your voice.
Oh,
sing this song. Amen. We've come this far by faith. Oh, say leading on the Lord. Come on, trusting in His holy word. Say, oh, 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 oh. received instruction from the chief captain this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father. Father God, we're so grateful, Lord God, that in this battle that we're in, oh God, that you will come and instruct your children. Be patient with me. I'm working everything right. You don't have to fight. The battle's not yours. It's mine. All you have to do is be patient and wait on me, and I'll fulfill everything I said that I would do. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord God, that your promises cannot fail, Lord. You watch over your word to perform it, Lord God. And when you have given your children a promise, Lord God, you cannot take it back. So, Lord God, we'll be patient and wait on you. We'll trust you till we die, Lord God. Every promise in the book is ours, oh Lord. And Father, we're going to partake of them, Lord. We're going to go out and take them, Lord God, because you've given them to us. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for coming into our midst, Lord, speaking to our hearts. Lord, thank you for the encouragement, Lord God. Thank you for the instruction, oh God. And we'll be obedient, Lord, to follow your word. Father, I ask, oh God, that as we meditate on these things and apply them to our lives, Father, that you anoint them afresh to us, Lord God, that we may go out and accomplish your will. Father, be with your children as we prepare to leave this place, Lord God. We ask, oh God, that you'll replenish our brother, Lord, all the strength, Lord, that he, all the virtue, Lord, that he pressed out this morning, Lord God. May you restore to him double, Lord God. And Father, may you continue to bless your children, Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, Lord. Bring us all back at the appointed time. Bless the services this evening, Lord. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we ask. Amen. God bless you. You may have your seats.